I'd like to introduce here today, we had our County Commissioner Ron Kutzinger, who has joined us for this meeting. Very nice of him to bring a whole team. Greg O'Reilly from FEMA and his team will be addressing you guys today. So please give them a nice welcome. We really appreciate them coming.
Thank you. Yes, I'm Ron Kutzinger, Sarasota County Commissioner. I represent District 5, which includes most of Northport and a lot of Englewood, South County. Sarasota County has 2,200 employees, give or take. And one of the things Sarasota County does, a lot of people don't realize, is when we hire an employee, we also have them sign on to go into action during times like we're going through right now, in the Emergency Operations Center and other ways of serving. So each of our employees, all 2,200 of them, are trained in a particular area. It may be in one of our shelters, one of our distribution centers, out in our Emergency Operations Center, but all of them are activated during this time. So we're 2,200 strong. I'm very proud of that. Sarasota County has been working since before the storm in preparation, and then throughout the storm, our employees have been serving our communities. I was able to get a hold of Tim last Saturday morning. I called Tim and said, Tim, I'd love to come see the park and see how things are going. He said, I'd love to have you here this afternoon. So I was a week ago Saturday, I believe, yep, that Tim, Colette and I did a tour of the park. He mentioned that you had an HOA meeting. I said, Tim, I'd be glad to come to an HOA meeting when you have the next one. And he said, well, we're having one Monday the 24th. And so we had some things scheduled, but I changed that and said I would be glad to be here. And then I made a quick call to Greg O'Reilly from FEMA. And Greg has been a wonderful resource for me personally and for the county. And I said, Greg, would it be possible? Because I had a meeting with them last Wednesday, and they were here and they presented to a group up in Sarasota. I said, would it be possible for you to get your group together and come down and speak at the HOA? And Greg was like, well, let me work on it. And he did, and they're here, and I'm very thankful. Greg, thank you so much for what you arranged and for bringing the team here. I've had an opportunity since the storm to meet personally with the governor. We were out here in Northport together, and we toured some of the areas that were so severely flooded. And of course, I've toured the area with our emergency operations director and our county administrator, and we went through the parks. We actually were here in this park just a few days after the storm, getting an assessment of the damage, which obviously is overwhelming. It's hard to get a grasp on just how wide the scope of this storm is. And so there's been a lot of effort to get the resources where they're needed. So I toured that area with the governor. A little bit later, our first lady of the state, Casey DeSantis, came in. I was able to meet with her one-on-one. She's been raising funds for disaster recovery and doing a great job. I think she's raised over $50 million so far and sending that to areas that need it. So that's been encouraging. And then last Saturday, I got a call. I thought this was interesting. I got a call that the FEMA administrator was coming into Northport. And they said, Commissioner, you know, if you can make it, it'd be great for you to be there. So I ran home, changed, got out there. And while I was there, I think one of our county employees said, here, let me get a mic on you. And I'm like, why do you need a mic on me? And it turned out that the FEMA administrator and I were having a press conference. I was unaware of that. But I told Administrator Criswell, I told her, I said, I'm glad I didn't know about this, so I didn't have time to get nervous about it. And I had a one-on-one conversation with her, a very lengthy conversation. She wasn't in a hurry. She listened to everything that I talked to her about, very responsive. And as you can see, they've just been putting every resource that they can, making it available and doing a wonderful job. And in fact, some of you may have met some of the FEMA representatives who are going door to door at this point. We even talked about that at our meeting last Saturday. I think one of the gentlemen is here that's been in your park with others are going door to door trying to get assessments and getting resources and questions answered. And so they've been doing that as well. The other thing I've had the opportunity to do, and this has been very encouraging and inspirational to me, I've worked closely with a lot of the disaster relief organizations that have come into our community from all over the nation. It was just a few days, in fact, when I made that original tour through the parks here, just a few days after the storm, I went into one of the parks, and there was a group of recovery individuals there, volunteers from Pennsylvania, who immediately after the storm had gotten all their stuff together, came down, one of the parks just down the road here, and they were cooking, they had their grills out, and they were cooking hamburgers for the residents, and they were in line, and they were feeding them from Pennsylvania just a few days after the storm. It's so inspirational. I'm working with teams right now who have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers from all over the community who are going out, finding out where they can help. I've got one organization that has 2,700 homes on the list right now. They send out, you know, over 10 teams every day, well-trained, well-equipped, just doing all they can to meet needs. So I'm very proud of the efforts and the volunteerism, the generosity, and the work that's being done. At the county level, we moved forward with expedited permitting online, making it very simple and very quick. We've also passed a resolution waiving all permit fees associated with Hurricane Ian recovery rebuilding. So any you go ahead and clap. That's great. Yeah, sorry. So when you go to file for a permit to get that work done, it's going to be expedited, and there's going to be no cost associated with that. The other thing, I'm very proud of the response, the pre-positioning of assets to really get out there quickly. A few months ago, a couple of things I wasn't real happy with Florida Power and Light about, but I have to tell you, they had over 40,000 crews here in Florida working to restore power, and they got power restored very quickly. They gave me a personal representative who I called and was on the phone with every day about specific needs. They responded almost immediately to those needs, so I have to give them kudos. Florida Power and Light did a great job getting us back online. I think there are less than 1,000 homes right now in Sarasota County that do not have power, less than 1,000. And that's because the damage was so extensive, so those are even getting back online. Also, waste management. Waste management brought in teams and crews and equipment from across the coast to get them pre-positioned so they could get out there and begin debris collection as soon as possible. Thank them for that. And then the large crews that are out there, you see those tandem trailer trucks that are out on the road picking up debris. They're working 7 days a week. For Hurricane Irma, how many of you were here for Irma? What was that, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
The total amount of debris that we collected for Hurricane Irma was 300,000 cubic yards. As of today, we've already collected over 1 million cubic yards of debris. Over 1 million. And we've got a long road ahead of us. But they're out there 7 days a week. We've got staging areas. The vegetation is being mulched and actually being repurposed. They're also now starting on the construction and demolition debris. And so it's a massive operation. It's going to take time. It's going to take time, but every effort is being made to get that done as quickly as possible. So I'm proud of that team as well. I did have some of our county employees pass out some material for you, some links and information about FEMA connections, and I'm going to let them speak to that more than me, but also a sheet that has some links and some information about small business loans and other types of resources that are available. And then I did have the 311 in Sarasota County to get a hold of our call center, who will get you in touch with whatever you're calling about. It's just dial 311. It will take you to the call center, and then they will direct you to whatever question you're asking. They'll direct you to the right department, the right individual. So be sure you're aware of that. 311 is very simple, very easy to remember, and that will get you a hold of the right people. So with that, very thankful that the FEMA representatives have joined us today. And I'm going to introduce Greg O'Reilly, and as I mentioned, and I told him this earlier, I made this little comment on Wednesday, and then he felt obligated to do all he could. I said, Greg's made me look like a hero, because a lot of people that had individual issues, I've referred to Greg, and Greg has responded. In fact, in many cases, they've called personally to follow up on those issues. So Greg has made me look like a hero, and I thank you for that, Greg, and thank you for being here today. Greg O'Reilly from FEMA.
Good afternoon, everyone. Commissioner, thank you very much. Tim, we're grateful for the opportunity to share some FEMA information with your community. Our mission here in Florida is state-managed, federally supported, and locally executed. To date, so far, our registrations for
FEMA.
To date, so far, FEMA registrations for the state of Florida number 718,626. Sarasota County, we have 48,695 registrants. We're happy to be here. I'd like to turn this meeting back over to the Homeowners Association as quickly as possible. So I'd like to introduce our speakers. We have first, Sam Harvey from our individual assistance team. Secondly, Sandra Lawson from the Small Business Administration. And then Matt Zabota from the National Flood Insurance Program. We also have media relations staff here present. And as the commissioner mentioned, we have a representative of our DSA team who is here, and they have been out meeting you, canvassing the communities, and registering additional people, as well as answering and following up on their status with their registration. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Sam Harvey, Individual Assistance.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, everybody, for being here. My name is Sam Harvey. I work with the Individual Assistance Group at FEMA. So specifically, we're looking to provide assistance for homeowners, individuals, families who may have been impacted by the storm. This is, you know, different than the roads, the bridges, the other things covered by a different section of FEMA. We're really looking at providing that assistance for your storm needs, anything that hasn't been covered by insurance. So if you are somebody who was impacted, you had damage, you think you had damage, you're not sure if you had damage, your first step really is to apply with FEMA. There's no cost to apply. So long as somebody in the household has a social security number, you can apply. That household can apply and potentially receive assistance. If you decide later that, you know, I'm covered by insurance or I don't have significant damage, you can always withdraw, no harm, no foul. So if you're not sure at all, I would encourage you to apply for FEMA assistance. A couple ways to do that. You can call the FEMA helpline, 1-800-621-FEMA. It's 1-800-621-FEMA. That's the front door for really any questions you might have for individual assistance. If you want to apply, if you want to find out what's the status of my case, talk to somebody about your unique situation, that's the line to do it. You can also go to a disaster recovery center. It's the Shannon Staub Library? Shannon Staub Library, that's the closest one. It's up by the Interstate 75, I think that's mile 178, that exit, right off the exit there. You can also go online to disasterassistance.gov. That's disasterassistance.gov. And you can apply through our online portal. You can also create an account so that you can go in and receive communications and look up your own status. And lastly, you can engage with our disaster survivor assistance. We did have some of them here within the community over the last couple of days. So hopefully some of you have seen them out and had a chance to interact. They can help you register for assistance. So as you're going through the process, there are three main buckets of assistance with which we're looking to help. The first one is housing repair. If you're a homeowner and you had damage to your home for things like the roof, drywall, insulation, any of those items of the house that might have been damaged, there's assistance available to help with repairs. Essentially, it's money that's provided directly to you to determine what is the best way to get this job done, whether it's buy the materials and complete it yourself, whether it's hire a contractor, whatever you feel is best, that money is there to help with the housing repair. The second bucket of assistance is rental assistance. If you're unable to live in your house because it's damaged by the storm and you need to find temporary alternate living arrangements, that's what rental assistance is for. Again, it's funds provided directly to you. And you take those and find, you know, a temporary rental location, hotel, motel, something that provides you a place to live until you're able to move back into your damaged property. The last bucket of FEMA funding is for personal property. It falls into our other needs assistance. So personal property is your clothing, living room set, dining room set, television, all of those items that may have been damaged during the storm. Those are the three separate buckets. So you've got housing repair, rental assistance, and personal property. The maximum amount for each of those categories is $37,900. So $37,900 for housing repair, a separate $37,900 for rental assistance, and the same for personal property. So that doesn't mean you'll receive, that everybody will receive the maximum amount. It can be anything from, you know, zero all the way up to $37,900. Now the process, hopefully if you've had damage by now, you've had the opportunity to apply. So you went to the helpline, you applied online, went to the Disaster Recovery Center. Usually within 4 or 5 days, you'll get a call from a FEMA inspector. This is your, after applying, this is your next big step. It's important to meet with that FEMA inspector. They're going to call you, arrange a time to come out to your house so that the two of you can look at the property, determine what was damaged, how much was damaged, and they're going to put all of that into our system. And it's important to make this connection because that is how we start to determine how much money might be available for each of those, you know, housing repair, personal property type assistance. So make sure you meet with that inspector. The next step that I want everyone to be aware of is applying to the Small Business Administration. Now this seems like a little bit of a curveball because SBA, Small Business Administration, if you're not a business, if you don't run out of a business out of your home, you might say, well, this isn't for me. I'm not a business, I don't need to pay attention to this. So much else going on, why would I do this? It's a very important step in the FEMA assistance process. Because if you're eligible for a Small Business Administration loan, that's what is going to be used for really anything, for your recovery, whether it's housing repair, personal property, all of that. It's a great resource to have in your back pocket. We'll hear more about the specifics of it later. You can accept it, you cannot accept it, you can take a little, you can take a lot, but you want to have that available to you in case you decide that that's what you're going to need to recover. If you are not eligible for a SBA loan, for a Small Business Administration loan, it automatically refers you back to FEMA for consideration for personal property. Personal property also includes damage to vehicles, loss of other items that may have been in the home, chainsaw if you had to buy one, generator if you had to buy one. So there are a lot of things that may be available under other needs assistance. So that's the process, and hopefully everybody's had a chance to go through this. If you do have questions about where am I personally in this assistance process, strongly encourage you to reach out to the helpline, again, 1-800-61-FEMA. You can talk to somebody right there on the phone, find out what your specific status is. You can also go to the Disaster Recovery Center, sit down across from a provider, somebody similar to myself, and ask them those questions. Where am I in my process? What do I need to do? What are the next steps? Some of the biggest hurdles we've seen in this disaster, you know, things that might delay the process for receiving FEMA assistance. Without a doubt, the biggest one is insurance. So FEMA assistance cannot duplicate what is provided by insurance, whether it's homeowners insurance, flood insurance, any other you know, particular policies or riders you might have. So that's why on the FEMA side, we always ask you, before you can get FEMA assistance for housing repair or personal property, file a claim with your insurance company. If the insurance says, hey, we can cover some of that loss, well, that's great. That's why you've been paying your premiums. If your insurance company says, that's not something that we cover, that's fine. Get a copy of that denial letter from your insurance, provide that to FEMA, and we can say, okay, insurance doesn't cover this, we can move forward with FEMA assistance. But by and large, that is the most common reason that we're seeing that assistance processes are not moving forward. Again, we're waiting for determination from your insurance. So please make sure you go through that process. Some other considerations, if the damage was not to a primary residence, by primary residence, that really means you're here more than 6 months out of the year. It's the license, your address on your driver's license, you vote here. All of those are considerations for primary residence. You also have to prove things like ownership and occupancy, you know, a cable bill, utility bill, tax bill, something to show that, yes, you are the person that lives there. Yes, you were there at the time of the storm. Again, there are plenty of considerations. There are plenty of things that might hold up your assistance. I don't want folks to start to get discouraged if you receive determination letters from FEMA that say you were not eligible for this assistance. It can get really frustrating. I completely understand that. I don't think I have to tell that to any of you. So if you receive a determination letter and says you're not eligible, don't just stop there. Don't just crumple up that paper and throw it away and curse my name. You know, go to a disaster recovery center, call the helpline, find out what is stopping this assistance process. Get a clear answer as to what do I have to do to move forward with my assistance. Because there are over 1,000 FEMA representatives here in the state, and they all want to get you to a yes. They all want to get you to a place of assistance. So, you know, let's work together and find that opportunity. The last piece that I want to talk about, getting outside of the individual assistance process a little bit. Debris removal has obviously been a big issue. Not just here, but anywhere that was impacted. I was explaining a little bit to the commissioner earlier that as the homeowner, if you had damage, you had to take out drywall or insulation or other things that might have been damaged. It's your responsibility to get those items to what is essentially the public right-of-way, you know, to the edge of the road so that the county, the county's contractors can come with their trucks and pick up that debris and take it off-site. There's no charge for that to you as the homeowner, but it is your responsibility to get it out to the roadway, to the side of the road, and make sure that it's accessible to those trucks. So I'm sure there'll be a lot more details from the county and the municipality on exactly what that process looks like, what the time frames are. As you can imagine, there's a lot of debris, so we're trying to get to as much of it as possible and working as quickly as we can. I will continue to be around at the end of the presentation. If folks have generalized questions about the assistance process, I'm happy to answer as many of them as I can. This is my whole day, so you know, feel free to come up and take me to task. That's all I have. Thank you.
Please introduce you to Sandra Lawson of the Small Business Administration.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the privilege of standing before you. We're here to help and share in your recovery process. As Sam mentioned, we're a federal partner with FEMA. When you go to FEMA first, if they refer you to the SBA, it's really important to follow that process. The reason being is that the SBA has a disaster loan program, and when there's a federal declaration, a presidential declaration like the one we have here for Hurricane Ian, the SBA helps not only businesses, but we help the homeowner, the renter, businesses of any size, as well as nonprofit organizations like homeowner associations, like faith-based organizations. For homeowners, we have a physical damage loan. It's long-term low interest, about 2% interest, up to 30 years. And what it will do is we will help you to repair, replace, and recover. There's also another piece of that. The $200,000 is the ceiling on that. That's the congressional limit for homeowners. There's another up to $40,000 available for your personal property, like your furnishings, maybe your vehicle got damaged. So there's an additional $40,000 that you can have access to. Regarding eligibility, we look for a reasonable credit, ability to repay. Anything over $25,000, they ask for collateral on that. For the renter, you know, if you lost your personal property, then up to $40,000 is available to replace those things. For businesses, up to $2 million, businesses and nonprofits, up to $2 million is available to repair, replace things that you lost with the business, real estate, inventory, supplies, things like that. So we have funds available. The key is, for homeowners and renters, if you've registered with FEMA, and you should, and then you're referred to SBA, please complete the application. And the reason being is that if you don't complete the application, which is part of the process, then you don't, you're going to stop the process. If you are declined for any reason by the SBA for the loan, you get to go back to FEMA to be considered for other needs that you still have. So that's the key there. Now, some people say, well, I don't want a loan. We've heard lots of people say that. And you might not. But if you're being referred, go through the process, okay? The benefits of the SBA loan is that we can help you get back to where you were before the storm, right? Before the hurricane. And the other benefit is that we have a mitigation component that says if you become a borrower for physical damages to your property, you can ask for an increase in your loan to do things to mitigate future damages. Nothing's 100% anymore. You know, disasters are happening all the time, quicker than we can recover sometimes. But mitigation will help you to think about things that you could do different to your property to better protect you in case of the next hurricane. So people consider things like elevation or storm windows or a stronger roof or safe rooms, lots of different options. You would have to get with your contractor, get an estimate, and then you would talk to the loan officer and say, hey, you know, here's what I'm thinking about. They go through and look at it and, you know, make a decision on that. But up to 20% additional on the verified loss, the total verified loss to your property could be considered for increase for mitigation purposes. So the loan program is here to help. It's a resource. If you are approved, you have 2 months to decide even if you want to use it. So we encourage you to apply for the assistance, and that's one more resource you'll have available. While you're waiting on your insurance to come in, that could be sitting there, and you'll have some other options to choose from to make yourself better again, back to where you were or better. The other thing about the loan program is that you know, the rates are so low for the homeowners. You're at 2%, homeowners and renters, about 2%. For up to 30 years. And then for the nonprofits, we're at 1.8% for up to 30 years, and the businesses are 3%. So those are attractive rates and things like that. But you do have time to think about what you want to do, and it's safer to apply and have the resource and go from there. Now, if you're declined by us for any reason, just like Sam said for FEMA, please read the decline letter. Sometimes it's not in the easiest language to understand, but what I want to encourage you to do is to always ask questions about it. See, we have an 800 number, and we have SBA reps in every FEMA disaster recovery center, plus we have the business recovery centers in various counties, and they're growing, you know, as we continue in the declaration. But ask questions. Go into a center, talk to somebody. What does this mean? You know, and usually the decline letter will tell you you can reconsider. You have up to 6 months to request a reconsideration, but they want you to provide information that will tell, you know, what can you do to overcome the decline? And usually you just put it in plain English, I can do this, that, and the other. Or maybe there's a piece of information that wasn't provided or wasn't clear. But I'm encouraging you to ask for clarification and don't give up, you know, if you do get such a letter. Just keep moving forward. There are lots of resources on the ground that we want you to consider. So if one doesn't work, another one just may work for you. So the SBA is here to help. You can go online if you like. I always encourage people to go into the disaster centers while the people are on the ground, because you can talk face to face about what is available to you. You can talk to a real person. If you go online, I mean, it's fine to do that. You can get the application started, just like FEMA says. You can get the application started, and you can still call in and ask questions. So we have an 800 number, which is 800-659-2955, and I'll have flyers in the back with that information on it. And the application online is disasterloanassistance.sba.gov. So that's disasterloanassistance.sba.gov. And I'll be here if you have questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. I'm pleased to introduce you to Matthew Zwoboda, who will provide an overview of the National Flood Insurance Program. Matthew.
Thank you, everyone. With the National Flood Insurance Program, that's actually administered through FEMA. The flooding is probably the single most damaging peril that one can suffer, which is why FEMA does spend a lot of time spreading the word that if you do not have flood insurance, please consider that. Over the last 30 or 40 years, there's been a lot of floodplain management that's been executed, and it's been very helpful in minimizing loss to your properties. But when you do have flood insurance, recovery, it shows your recovery is so much better than not having it. And there's many ways of getting you back on your feet quickly. Through advances is the big one. But also, there are some limitations to disaster assistance that the National Flood Insurance Program policy can provide. Also, over the last few years, there is private flood insurance that's being offered by some of the carriers around here. FEMA doesn't care where you get your flood insurance. They would just really like for you to have some. I know here, I've driven around. Here, there seems to be very little flood damage, more so wind damage. And that is of concern for most of you when it comes to what is referred to as potentially a substantial improvement, substantial damage, or a 50-50 rule. That, again, falls under your township. As Greg mentioned, this disaster is state-managed, and FEMA is supporting that, but it's locally executed. So you may receive a letter from your township that states that you are substantially damaged, and there is some information on there for that. Part of that is getting you your home in compliance with local floodplain regulations. Overall, if you do receive that letter, it has these instructions, and please follow through with those. But one of the things I wanted to add with the limited flooding here is it's a testament to your community. It appears that Sarasota has done a lot to mitigate throughout the years to minimize flooding to your areas, which is a testament to how active the people leading your community want to minimize damage for you. I'm not sure if Jeff Parker, he's a floodplain manager certified. He has additional information. I'm not sure if he wanted to speak on the potential. Okay, that's fine. Sure. And I'll leave it to Jeff. He's also a subject matter expert on federal insurance, so we'll be here afterwards to answer any of those questions that you may have. And I look forward to meeting some of you. Jeff?
Hi, thank you for having us all here. Matt wanted to touch upon the subject about the community and how they've better protected you against the flood risk. There are about 22,000 communities that participate in the National Flood Insurance Program. A participating community is meeting only the minimum criteria of protection against flood risk. We want you to be safe, but we can't be heavy-handed and force a great degree of protection that would make it unreasonable for construction standards. Now, there are areas that are going to be, what I'm trying to get at is your community has helped people save on their flood insurance costs. If you enter into the program at the minimum standard, there is going to be a basic cost per thousand to buy protection. Your community is insured that you have a 25% reduction of your flood insurance costs. So people that might not think it is an affordable product to carry, it truly is by your county protecting you against a greater risk. There are classes, and a basic community entering into our program at the minimum standard would be considered a class 10. Your community has risen or achieved the class 5 status. Thereby, for each class they enter into, 9 would give a 5%. A class 8 would give them a 10% reduction on their costs. Your community is insured by protecting you that you'll get a 25% decrease in the annual cost of your insurance. Now, that's not for people that currently have it. It's going to go down by 25. Anybody buying it already has been quoted the price of that 25% discount. So I guess please reach out to your local insurance agent. Talk to them about flood insurance if you don't currently have it, and talk to them about the options of carrying some, more, or all that you need so that in the future you might never be unprotected if there is a risk of flood. Flood happens with frequency in the higher risk areas where it's mandatory to carry a flood policy. And it also happens in the areas that are maybe just inches outside of that high risk area or just down the street from that. But we're finding about 40% of all the flood insurance claims that we do pay are in the moderate and low risk flood areas where it is not mandatory for anyone to require you to have flood insurance. It then becomes an option. Also, in the higher risk areas, if you would consider risk of all types, when it comes to the span of a 30-year mortgage, if you're in the high risk flood area, I'm going to refer to fire. You have only about a 3.94% chance of experiencing a fire in that 30-year span of time. Yet our statistics will show, and can be backed up, that you have a 1 in 4 chance of being flooded in that same span of 30 years. It's a 26% chance. So don't take the chance of being without flood insurance. Please consider carrying some flood insurance. Thank you. And again, we will be available for all questions related to the flood insurance program, Matt and myself, after this meeting. Thank you.
Tim, how are we doing on time?
We're fine.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board?
I think we're fine.
We're fine.
As the manager, I do have one very important question. We have a tremendous amount of debris. We happen to have 40 acres where we have dumped a lot of it. Our residents have done it themselves. And literally, there's acres 6 feet tall. We were told by Sarasota County that there would be someone out to pick it all up. The aluminum scrappers have come in and made promises, which they have not followed up with, but they've taken the aluminum away, which is less than what we have to deal with than before. I'm wondering, where are we in reference to Sarasota County and FEMA providing that pickup, not only for me, for the association and the 40 acres, but for our residents as well? Is there a time frame or anything like that?
For the FEMA side, I'd like to address that.
From the FEMA side, I think Sam may have some comments, and if the county would like to address that in any way, we have the commissioner here.
Sure. Again, Sam Harvey from FEMA. So on the agreement between the association here, there has to be a right of entry between the...
We've gone online to get that, and it's not available to us because...
It was removed.
It was removed.
We went online to get that. It was removed from the website as we were told that the money was not available from FEMA to Sarasota County and vice versa. So therefore, we have not been able to fill that form out. We would gladly do so, but we can't even get the film, form downloaded.
Get him, Randy. Get him. So on the financing side from FEMA to the county, the county or the municipality has a contract in place with some debris provider at a, you know, a fixed amount per whatever. So as though that process goes through, they bill the county turns around and says, FEMA, here's how much we spent, and FEMA reimburses those costs. So those are at 100% reimbursement for 60 days. I think that's until November 28th. So the funds are on the FEMA side. They are there between FEMA and the county. In terms of the, you know, the paperwork being available online, unfortunately, I can't speak to that because that's between the county debris folks.
Well, because we are a private association and we have private roads, I understand that form has to be filled out. Obviously, we'd love to have that, but it's not available. So.
I'll certainly work with you on that and also with FEMA on the reimbursements. I'm not sure if part of that is that we've got to go through the process they were describing earlier about does the HOA have insurance to cover those things, so we've got to work through that first. So we'll work with that, and I'll work on the right of entry with you directly.
Okay, great. Okay. Thanks, Ron.
FEMA will work with the commissioner to address the issue and find a reasonable solution.
Okay, all right.
Any other questions?
Did you state a time limit for filing a claim with FEMA? Is there any limit?
I believe for public assistance, it's 180 days. However, any debris removal that is completed within the first 60 days is reimbursed to the county at 100%. After 60 days, it's at less than 100%. So I know the impetus is on getting it done within those, as much done as possible within those first 60 days. But it's not as though if you get past 60 days, they're going to stop picking it up. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
But also for individual assistance.
Okay. So there was a question about the individual assistance. If you have not applied, you have 60 days from the date of declaration. So again, it's that November 28th. That is the last day you'd be able to apply for FEMA individual assistance right now.
Any other questions?
Okay.
About the loan, just the timing of that. You said to apply for a loan. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hold on. Hold on.
To apply for the loan, you said you have to use those funds within 2 months or 60 days? Or did I misunderstand that?
You would have to, you have 2 months to decide. After you're if you apply and you're approved, you have 2 months to decide if you want to take the loan or not.
Okay. Because right now, there's a big shortage on people even coming out here to give us any kind of estimate. So it's going to be 2 months before I'm going to know if I'm going to need money or not, and before my insurance notifies me. So I apply for it now, and then I can still, I have to
give
you an amount that I want within 2 months.
You apply for the loan as soon as possible. You should get a decision, they're saying 2 to 3 weeks. It's pretty busy out here, so, but that's what they're saying, 2 to 3 weeks. To get a decision on it. And then, like I said, after you are approved, then you can take your time to decide if you want to use it, right? But you will be assigned somebody to come out and verify the damages from SBA. Every agency will have its own damage verification, and then you'll also be assigned a loan officer to work with, things like that. Okay?
I have another question. I have applied for an SBA loan, but I got to the part of the application where it is asking me how much my insurance is giving me. But I won't know for several weeks as to what my insurance company is going to give me.
Right. With the SBA, you don't have to wait on your insurance decision to apply for the loan. We don't duplicate benefits, so when your insurance settlement comes in, you know, we'll take that all of that into consideration. But you can apply for the loan now, and then, you know, we can move forward with that.
Okay, because I got to that part of the loan, and I didn't answer that question, and it wouldn't let me go any further.
Well, you can go back in online if you were online, or you can go into the center, the Disaster Recovery Center or Business Recovery Center, and you can give that information and keep your application moving forward.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We're going to let these good people get back to their Homeowners Association meeting. Our staff or team will be available outside to address any one-on-one questions. Commissioner Kutzinger, do you have any closing comments?
First of all, you know, kudos to this community. When I was with Tim and Colette, they talked about, was it just a couple of years ago, you went through a process and you went with SWIFMA and some engineers,
yes,
and you redid your stormwater facilities here, and obviously it was a huge improvement. I don't think any homes in this particular development were flooded, which was really amazing. So kudos to you for spending that time and making the effort. It really paid off. And also, thank you for inviting us today. It's really important to get information out there. I want to thank FEMA and their team. Let's give them a round of applause for what they're doing. They are working tirelessly. And as I mentioned, they're even now on the ground, going door to door in many cases, trying to get as many people the resources they need as possible. So we're very thankful for that. They're going to be here after the meeting. They're going to have a table out in back, and you can personally come up to them and have them answer questions and help you with the process. Thank you so much for letting us be here today.
Okay, there's a table set up out front. You can take pictures of the phone numbers and brochures out there, and if anyone has any questions, you can go out there and meet with them. And we'll take about a 5-minute break, and then we will conduct our actual board meeting today. Thanks, everybody, and thank Commissioner Kutzinger. It was wonderful for you to come, and all you guys from FEMA. It really means a lot to us. Thank you.